Give God a praise in this place. Magnify the Lord. Those that are in this room, those that may be in an overflow, those that are at home watching online, those that will watch this later, our God is worthy and he's worthy to be praised. I want to ignite an atmosphere of understanding of praise and worship in this place. To God be the glory. If you would just pray with me. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share in your word. We thank you for this time. And Father, we ask that you speak. We ask that people hear you in the midst. We ask that the discernment of what you're saying, Lord, the information that they need, the inspiration we need, and the revelation we need to live our lives. And so, God, right now, we thank you and we ask that you have your way. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus. I like that. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus. Oh, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord, everybody. I want to say, I have to be quick because it was intentional that I had all the young people go before me, because if I come up here and mess up, then it's you'd be nice to me because there was children involved. I had to put the children before me. I want to be respectful of the timing. I understand how much of a season ministry you have here. And because of that, I'm going to ask that you give Bishop and First Lady a clap of praise, or jump to your feet, or whatever you have to do. Bishop Darlington Johnson, I understand he's on travel, and as a point of connection, my daughter is engaged, and the young man is from Liberia. And so we thank God. We thank God. First Lady, my wife, is really disappointed she could not be here. She was really excited to be here, she was ready. And yesterday she said, what am I going to wear? I'm like, we just wear what we have. And she said, no. And she went, and her friend came, and they spent the day going over, and she was sick. And then she got something to wear, and now she has it. And so I say, you know, things have to be where they belong. And so since you bought it for the day and you didn't wear it, that's be like the Ark of the Covenant. It don't belong here. Take it back to where it belongs. Right? Some people catch it home. That's how you know who reads the Bible. It's like, I'll get a covenant. Some people just, I don't care, just take it back. Thank God for Deacon Melanie. Thank God for Minister Jones for the invitation. It's an honor to be here. I want to say to the pastors that are in the house, give all the other pastors and clergy and leaders in the house. I do not underestimate the honor to be here, because I know there's a lot of other people that could be up here. So it's really humbling to have leaders, your peers in the gospel, to be out here. So I do not take this moment lightly. And I want to say thank you to all the fellowship members who traveled with us and they're here. Let's give them a hand. We thank God for you. To your praise team, to your members, you all look beautiful. You look beautiful. You look beautiful. I want to be in order, and I want to get into the word of the Lord, and I want to be in time. My message is only 2 hours and 45 minutes, and I know that because of the heritage, I'll be sensitive to the time. Let's go to the word of the Lord in Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to talk today about roots of resilience. What's your legacy? The young people already started speaking. And they actually got into one of the points that I have for you today that talks about darkness and light. So the roots of resilience, what's your legacy? And so, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. New King James Version. May the Lord add blessings to the hearing and doing of his word. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you about roots of resilience, and I'm going to move quick because I shared my time with the young people because it's important to give young people training. It's important, as you can see, a major part of my heart and ministry. You're going to know them by the fruit. And if you say you love young people and you about youth ministry, well, what are they saying? What are they doing? How are you training them? Roots of resilience. What's your legacy? Paul says that God called him to proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. What is Paul known for today? Does Paul have a legacy today? His body of influence is in the minds, wills, and emotions of people today. Based on the sacrifice and the commitment that he made with his life, it is generations that have gone by, and everything that we think about is a major part of what Paul has written, our attitudes. There are people who are married today because of something Paul wrote. There are some kids you didn't get a whooping. You're going to a whooping because of the Bible saying to not grieve your children to anger. Not provoke your children to anger. Because of the love that Paul has taught us, because of the grace that Paul has taught us about, his body of work is what I would call an example of legacy. What's your legacy going to be? We do an exercise in work where they would say, write what you want us to say at your retirement party. What do you want people to say at your retirement party? What do you want people to say after you're long gone? What will people say about you? What will they remember about you? You see, the roots of resilience, the part of the plant. See, roots, there's a part of the plant that goes deep into the ground that you have to take care of, but also the roots is the source of where you come from, the roots of resilience. And sometimes the roots that we have to be plucked up, and I thank God for Jesus for that. Understand the root of something, the cause, the source. Why do you do what you do? See, I have no problem with loving young people. I have no problem because it's something that has been rooted deep inside of me from a child. I know what it's like to come up without a father. I know what it's like to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at a young age. See, it's not a problem for me to stand here like this. I've had this suit since I was 8 years old. Going to church by myself. No problem. You see, resilience is the concept of withstanding to recover through toughness. I'm looking at some resilient people. It's not a single person in here that hasn't been through something. If I would say jump up if you've never been through something in your life, what will your legacy be? So I want to be clear about this. When we talk about legacy, it has to be clear that you have an individual legacy. Your family has a legacy. If you're in the church auxiliary, that group has a legacy, and your church has a legacy. And I'm so glad that you make it clear what you want your legacy to be every day. You walk in it, you talk in it, you declare it, you talk about it, you proclaim it. It's in the name. Harvest Intercontinental. It's in what you believe. What is your legacy? Do people know? What are you proclaiming today? You see, there's a lot to proclaim. There's a lot that we have to deal with. And so I'm going to give you three things that I want you to think about as you consider what your legacy is. I'm going to give you three things. Now, I know this is a Bible church. So I appreciate my sister over here. She has her pen, her Bible. Okay? I know unless you have a photographic memory. Thank you. We have our phones. Okay? Now, please don't be looking at the basketball scores. Some people act like they're paying attention, and then I'm saying something nice, and they're making a face. That face has nothing to do with what's going on in here. Because God is going to speak to you. I'm here to give you information. I'm here to give you inspiration. I'm here to give you, help you establish revelation. I don't give you the revelation. God gives you the revelation. But what takes place here, that should create an atmosphere so that you can have that. First thing we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about darkness and light. Darkness and light. Darkness is the lack of light. And one of the things I like about being in a seasoned church, if I start the sentence, I expect for you to finish the sentence. That's what I love. All these pastors in here, leaders and everything. I love churches like this because it makes it easy, makes it hard too, because you better come correct. But that's why I let you finish it, because if I forget it, I just put it on you if you say the wrong thing. Darkness is the absence of light. Light, listen, by the word of God, we understand that in God's word, we understand that it's a symbol of holiness, it's goodness, it's knowledge, it's wisdom, it's grace, it's hope, it's God's revelation. Understand there's a reason why God allows God's word to manifest with some words that are so deep. Because when you take time to think about it, you think you know the definition, but all the line you're learning and God reveals more and more and more to you. Paul's life is a perfect example about the darkness to light walk, because there's sometimes, I believe, many people really don't know what darkness is. You could be saved for 20 years and you still be dealing with some darkness in your life. Forgive me for saying that. Forgive me for saying that. There are times that we believe that we know. We have convictions. We have ways that we're walking. We have ways that we're talking, but we're still missing God in some areas. I don't want to say you could be too saved, but sometimes you could be caught up in your own righteousness. God says, don't be caught up. Don't think of yourself more highly than you should think of yourself. So I remember I was driving and we were in a rush. And forgive me, this is how my church knows. Here he goes. We were in a rush to go somewhere. And my wife says, I think I see someone on the side of the road. And I said, and the thing is, if you know anything about the highway, I was at that point that I was on 270. It was at that split where you go to Virginia and then you could go to D.C. And I just hit that split. And the person had the nerve to be at the Democracy Boulevard side. So I had to go all the way around and come back. See, conviction in your life, conviction in your heart will cause you to do right. It'll cause you to say, Lord, what are you saying about this? Lord, what are you saying? Am I walking in the light? Or am I walking in the darkness? See, in that moment, my wife is saying, I think we should go back. And I'm saying, here come that Ark of Covenant thing again. You just want to be a Philistine today, don't you? The husbands, I see a husband like, he's in the back like, one husband, he knows he wants to laugh. He's like, and because the wife is like, when the opportunity comes to you, and it's very basic, what will you choose, darkness or light? It's lack of light. When your decision lacks holiness, lacks goodness, lacks the knowledge of God, lacks love, lacks grace, you are walking in. It's hard. On your job. When you're driving. Okay. See, I make it very basic. We saved. I got on a suit, 10 layers up here, sweating in the light, everything else. And if somebody beeps me at the light, I'm looking through the rearview mirror. Am I blessing the Lord or am I talking to the person behind me? Because the light, you know how it is. The light now is so bad that the light doesn't even change and they beep you. They're like waiting. It's red. And then the light turns green. You already beat me and the light was red. The people that laugh are the people that do that. They beat the people. Come to the light. Come to the light. You see, it's a hard thing to reflect and say, God, it's hard. I want to be an individual for you. Lord, I want my family to grow in you. Lord, I want my ministry, my auxiliary to grow in you. And Lord, I want my church. I want the church that you would sign me to. Or if you're in the harvest field and in evangelism, Lord, I want to be used by you. So constantly, you're going to have to choose between darkness and light. I'm going to have to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And so there's a man by the name of Paul in chapter 13. He says, you know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion. I know all of us could come here and say, you know what I used to be like. How violently I persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. Paul walked in righteousness, meaning he believed that what he was doing was of a representation of God. So he went full, he went for it. He did everything he could violently with everything he had to persecute at that time God's church. He thought that he had the right information and he was inspired by the wrong thing and he was still waiting on revelation. Ladies and gentlemen, he was walking in. When you lack the right information and you're acting, you are walking in. You ever argue with somebody that don't have the right information? And you just listen to them and they think they know what they're talking about? And something has changed and they're like, no, we're going to, you know, set the tables up outside. They don't know it's raining. No, we're going to do everything outside. And they're in so dark, they won't even let the light come in. They're putting up all the shades because they don't want to listen to you. You're trying to tell them, no, there's a situation that has changed. They have, and then they see, once they get the right information, there's nothing like information that'll give you revelation. Because in that moment, you're just not realizing that you need to move the tables outside, but you just learn something about yourself. You learn that you need to learn how to. How I violently persecuted God's church. The depth of darkness. See, it's more than what we think people are living in sin. Darkness goes through the fact that there's lack of light, lack of clarity, because you can move in darkness. A lot of times people think people are in darkness, they're not moving. No, there's a whole lot of things that could take place in darkness. There's lies. There's manipulation. All sorts of things take place in darkness. And see, this is why God says, listen, I'm going to bring you out of these things. God can bring us out of these things, but we have to be willing to listen to God's information. We have to be inspired to go the right way. And we have to, when he gives us the revelation, we have to accept it. The unwillingness to accept God's revelation is the greatest darkness there is. Now you treading on, I'm not saying the wrong, you ain't even treading water. When God reveals things to you. It's amazing how, see, parents, you know, you talk to your kids and you're revealing things to them, you're trying to explain things to them, but they don't want to accept it. But when God reveals, see, the lack of godly vision, the lack of willing to move in the goals and priorities of God is true darkness. Paul says, I was far ahead of my fellow, verse 14, Paul says, I was far ahead of my fellow Jews. It says, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my counterparts in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Roots of resilience. Roots of resilience. He was only living by what he was taught. Roots of resilience. They taught him. And he was living by it, and he was willing to go forward in it and understand that there's sometimes, no matter what we're taught, we will keep by it until God reveals that that ain't the way to go. I was far ahead. Paul was once in darkness. And see, at that time, what's so amazing, his name was Saul. He did one of the most profound things that I find in the Word of God is that when Paul was in the midst of Stephen, one of the most inspiring figures in the Word that I like is Stephen, because Stephen was willing to share the gospel and go forward and put the gospel out. And it's at that moment in a passage of scripture in the book of Acts that they said that they came to get Stephen. They were going to stone Stephen, and they had Paul hold the jackets. Here, hold this. And he watched, did nothing. And the whole time through, Stephen had a conviction to do what? Praise God. See, conviction will cause you to praise God through things. But now listen, The next point I want to give you, point number two, the first point was understanding darkness and light. The second point I want to leave you with to kind of get into your studies is someone and something. Someone and something. Verse 15, it says, but even before I was born, and I'm reading from the NLT, and I'll read from the screen if you put verse 15. It says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, it did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. It did not immediately, I did not immediately confer with flesh. I didn't immediately go, you see, look at somebody say, someone, something. God will always use someone to accomplish his purpose and glory. God will always use someone to accomplish something. Write this down. Who's someone am I? Talking about what your legacy is going to be. Making it very clear. Roots, resilience, your legacy. I need to know the difference between darkness and light in my decisions because I'm always walking to kind of, I'm always walking to fulfill the light of God. So now I'm going to ask you, who's someone am I? I'm asking you, who's someone are you? Who are you assigned to? Who are you assigned to? Who is assigned to you? There is an amazing thing that happens that we have to understand that there are people assigned to us, and this is the amazing thing. Sometimes your person is a Saul when you first meet him. Sometimes God will allow a Saul to be in your midst, and you don't realize that person you don't like, God said he will make your enemy a footstool, and you don't realize that that Saul is about to be a Paul. I'm sorry, that Saul you married to right now. That child that might be acting like a Saul is the one that's going to be taking a tissue when you can't do it yourself one day. You may not realize that God puts them in your midst. So understand, someone, something. God has you on assignment. He has people on assignment. He has something for you to do. And he has people that will support for you to get to do that. And you are to support some people in the vision. You have a vision here, Harvest. Last one. This one is tough for me. My last point. Write this one down. Somebody said amen on my last point. Did y'all heard it? You think it. My church always says, Pastor, you just, I just the way I am. I got to walk in the light, so I'm going to just share what I'm thinking. Thank you. Thank you. I know he wasn't saying that. He was saying that the revelation hit, and that's the thing when you meditate. Conviction. This is tough. I can't even do this. This is hard for me to do because I don't want to fight the Lord on this because conviction and commitment. Conviction oftentimes is, in the worldly sense, in the just the secular sense, is internal. Now, biblically, it's an awareness of sin in your life. Conviction to be whatever's guiding your heart in your life. What are your convictions? What are your convictions? What is it that you will not back down from? There are people that their conviction is truth and honesty. And there are people that if they find a wallet with a bunch of money in it and their bills are due and things of that nature, you know, there are people that will not even open the wallet and they will turn the wallet in. I'm not going to go further than that. Because, you know, the saints will say, the Lord will give me a blessing and the Lord tell you to make your the world, take it from the world and give you all that stuff they try to say. That's your own personal conviction of that's what I'm saying. That's your dark light conviction. I'm not going to get into that. That maybe you're not that person, someone, and something right there. Conviction, internal. Commitment is a dedication. It's an engagement. It's an obligation. Now, they both can change based on circumstance. Because, or your conviction, if it's in the right thing, God will align your life so that you have the right commitments. Now, biblically, commitment is faith. Our faith demonstrates our commitment. Okay, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Or we're committed to God. So if we're committed to God, we will show him that we're going to show him that we're committed by faith. So what are your convictions? And so Mahalia Jackson. Anybody know who Mahalia Jackson is? What's one of her famous songs? Precious Lord. His eyes on the sparrow. Mahalia Jackson, one of the things I find amazing with her life, she was convicted to be a singer and to only use her voice to bless the Lord. They offered her much money to go out and sing secular music. She refused, and her only response was, "My voice is to bless the Lord." Did you know she made a gospel album? It bombed. Her first album bombed. It took 10 years before she then would start to get into the industry better. Did you know that? Conviction, commitment. I'm not going to change what I'm doing because of what's going on the outside. You see, it's one thing when God told you to start a business, you go to the first, you went to your, I'm not going to say company names. I do not want to get the place in trouble. But you can name all those things we get involved in. You go to your first one and you ready, you got your 10 people that you're going to call and everything else. And after the first month, you're out. When you're convicted that this is what you're going to do, the sales, the lack of sales, the lack of, don't drive you out of that when it's your calling. Mahalia Jackson was a great influencer of Dr. Martin Luther King. What's the most famous terms that Dr. King is known for? I have a dream. Dr. King is known for "I have a dream," and what I done pushed a button on this thing and I don't know what to do now. I done pushed the button. Dr. Martin Luther King, "I have a dream." The March on Washington, over 100,000 people there. He has a speech that he needs to do. One of the things that we learn is he has a speech that he must do, and he's giving the speech. Did you know that the speech, where it ended up, was not the speech he was supposed to share? Did you know that? Did you know he was impromptu? I guess that's why I went out. I'm supposed to be impromptu. As he's speaking, they have a relationship, friendship. Someone in the back knows that there's a part of a speech that he's written, and she notices that he's not speaking from the truth. Dr. King had a conviction. Mahalia Jackson had a conviction. As he's speaking, she shouts out, "Share your dream." You would have thought it was like Black Panther, the mother saying, "Show them who you are." You see, when conviction meets integrity, when conviction and integrity gang up and meet and connect, you see, some of you thought he was talking to 100,000 people, but he had to talk to himself. Some of you thought he was so focused on everybody, but he knew the dream that he said, "I don't have a dream." He said, "I have a dream." He was testifying about his conviction about what was in his soul. What's in your soul? What's your conviction? What's going to be your legacy? What are you standing on ground that God gave you that you're not going to back down from? We know the story. You see, I give up. There's a man by the name of Jesus. There's a man by the name of Jesus who is on a cross. But what you don't realize, prior to getting to the cross, he was in a garden and he said, "Father, if it be your will, let this." God's answer was, "This cup is not passing from you." He had to do the job. So at that point, the conviction settled in for what he had to do, that he had to be about his Father's business. He said that a long time ago. He was always convicted about that. All the way back when he was before the priest, he was talking, he stayed there, and his mother left, and they went everywhere they went, and the mother realized that Jesus wasn't there. She went back, and when his mother came to him and said, "Why would you do such a thing?" He said, "Don't you know, woman, I have to be what? You move that further, that conviction was already there." He said, "God, let this cup pass from me." What was his response? No. So he had to do what? Go to the cross. He went through many different things. He had the power to stop all of what was going on, but he had a conviction to do what he said he was going to do. He then is on the cross. He's on the cross and what I would call peasants, because you are below the master of God. You are now doing the worst things. They pierce him in his side. They're sharing his clothes. They're doing all sorts of things. And at that moment, his conviction rose up. His response in that moment wasn't, "I got something for y'all." You know how we act? You ever have to hold somebody back? You ever have to hold somebody back after they say they calm, they're acting or whatever, say, I'm okay. And then they do that again. He didn't do that. He said, and I could never get through this without being so humble, because it shows the conviction and love of Christ. He said it for you. He said it for you. Can I get somebody convicted about that? He said it for what? At that moment, they're mistreating him. You may be getting mistreated in some situations as a parent, as a coworker, as something. He says, "Lord, I'm going to choose light. God, I remember that I'm someone and I'm doing something. God, I'm convicted and committed to what you've asked me to do. So the best response I could give right now, Lord, because I see the commitment. I know to someone I see, say your name right now, say your name. God saw you in the midst of things, and it's because of that blood." Listen. Think of your worst moment. Think of your worst tragedy. Think of your worst mistake. Think of all that you've done that you could not even forgive yourself for. Think of stuff that you can't even tell people that you did. I'm not talking about. Think of the stuff you act like you never even did it, but you know you did. You just erased it from your mind. Think of the marriage you almost lost that you didn't think you could forgive your husband, you could forgive your wife, you could forgive whomever. Think of whatever. Think of the person who left you and you handled it by yourself with the faith of God in you. You're raising the children, you're doing it, and you never stepped outside of the word. You never stepped outside and did things you should have done. Think of the fact that you might have stepped outside, but the forgiving power of God is there to bring you back. He's there. He takes his time. He's there and he says, listen to what he says. He didn't say, "I'm not worried about them." See, we take the path of light that says, "I'm all right, I don't need you." He didn't say that. Y'all, I'm not gonna make it. He includes them in the blessing. He says, "Forgive them." The reason why he's there, he says, "You could join in too. Forgive them, for they know not what they do." He then has to have an amazing thing happen to him in his life.
the fulfillment of it all before he can go to the next phase of rising up. That which he was trying to avoid, the conviction, finally comes to him and it says, I know you all have experienced people letting you down. I know you've experienced jobs. I know you've experienced loss. I know you might have experienced not seeing your name on the depth chart to make the team. There's no manner of things that temptation that Christ has not experienced to not know. He says, my Father, why have you? Are you convicted yet? What is your response to that? It's not about how much you got in the bank. It's not about your title on your job. It's not about who you think you know, who you're friends with, who you got on your cell phone. At this moment, Christ was forsaken so that you can live. And on that wall, your pastor has made it clear so that you can live. Every head bowed. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for this time. We open an opportunity, Lord, for your people to receive, Lord. Father, somebody is receiving this word in a way that they know a little bit more about their own personal walk. Somebody's been healed about something. Somebody has a different attitude. Somebody has a better understanding. Lord, on this Sunday, February 25th, as we recognize Black history, Lord, we recognize that we are all, no matter what country we're from, or no matter what language we speak, no matter what color we are all part of your legacy. And so today, God, someone needs help to move forward in their legacy. The altar is open for prayer. The altar is open for those who want to give their life to Christ. I want to follow the subject, the leading of the leadership here. If you're in need of prayer, if you're in need of salvation, you're looking to give your life to Christ, looking for that change, we're here for you. The leaders are coming forth. Harvest leader, somebody help me. Is this your, what is your process? Are we good? Am I good? So either you may raise your hand or come to the altar. If you're in need of prayer, please come down to the altar if you are wanting to give your life to Christ on today. You may make your way to the altar. If all are okay. Father, we thank you, God, for this time. And those that are home, please text new me to 301-588-8099. If you want to rededicate your life today, the opportunity is here. Father, we thank you. Thank you for a special time. We thank you, Lord, for those that are watching at home. We thank you for those that are in this room, those that may be in the overflow, for what you've done. We ask that this word would increase for people to move towards legacy in their walk. It is in the precious name of Jesus we thank you, and that you would have your way. Amen, amen, amen.